What I'd like to do here is we're in Shaar Dal and Perek Yutes. Every once in a while, I like to go fast, get through Perek Yutes, and then next week, Perek Chaf. And we started it. We spent a lot of time. I don't want to go over everything, but we're going to just go through the whole thing to please everybody. Open Shaar Dal and Perek Yutes.
Where are we?
Remember, we're talking about the different Madrega package that exists for a Talmud Chacham, that which is Loimei Torah Lishma. And every parak here, until I think Chaf Aleph, goes Madrega after Madrega of what the Talmud Chacham that's learning Torah Lishma is zoicha to. I want to give a little bit of a, it's not a tangent to the point, but a little bit of a understanding into something that I've been saying for already a half a year now, and I think it's very important. I'm just going to put everybody on mute. Forgive me. Okay. We're talking about, I've been talking a lot about what it is to be the Talmud Chacham who's learning Torah Lishma and the chiyuv of being mechabed the Talmud Chacham. I spoke last week about Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Rabbi Akiva actually darshaned Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim, which was an astonishing drush, and I think I learned with you the Iyun Yaakov last week, which talks about how dangerous of a Yisoy that was, that Ad Kedekach, that Rabbi Kiva felt his whole life, he had to do a tikkun for even saying it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Talmud Chacham is like almost indistinguishable. But I just want to explain something to put it in a perspective so we'll understand better what we're learning. If you hang around me, you've heard this a number of times, but it's good that you know, we had something in Klai Yisrael called a Navi. So we look at a Navi as someone who was able to communicate with Hashem. Hashem communicated through him, with him, and through him, and we got to know the Dvar Hashem through this Navi. If you go through the Rambam Mar Nevuchim carefully, you'll see that there was another tafkid or another manifestation of Nevuah when we had Nevuah. And that was that the world is very, very confusing. We're living in a confusing time right now, you know, between pandemics and anarchy. we don't really know what Hashem wants from us in this world. And we really don't know, the biggest, at least for me, I speak personally, like the biggest issue is confusion. Suffolk, you know, who do you trust? Who's saying MS? Can you trust numbers? What's Bechlal? What are we supposed to be doing? Like every day is another Suffolk, open schools, closed schools, you know, like it's a whole, open shuls, closed shuls, you know, work for your parnasa, don't work for your parnasa. Like the world is like in a balagan, you know. And, you know, people like ask a doctor, many people, like I don't exaggerate, probably 10 people a day ask me if they should vaccinate. So, you know, I'm not a Navi, but a Navi, I'm not a Navi and I'm not a Gadol, and I'm not even talking about here who is the Talmud Chacham, and this is not a political point. I'm just saying a concept, really a Kabbalistic concept and a very practical concept. And that is that, you know, there's, as we've learned, there's Ad Shamayim Chasta Yomei Al Shamayim Chastecha. So the Ad Shamayim Chasta is talking about Ad HaShamayim, is talking about, as the Zohar explains, the Yud Beis Mazalos, the Malachim, which are created in the world of Yetzirah, Atzilus Bria, Yetzirah Asiyah, that's almost by us, Malachim. Eliyahu Navi makes appearances in this world, but Malachim, Eliyahu Malach HaBris. And then you're talking about Me'al Shamayim Chastecha, something which is higher and bigger than all of that. And you're not what we're talking about, somebody who's, and we're going to learn more about it, Lamala from the Derech HaTeva, Lamala from the whole Marechet of the Bria, which is Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Lamala means that, and has from above, and this is a very practical, not just a bird's eye view of what's going on in the world, but a God's eye view. And the God's eye view is that you can really know the Talmud Chacham, Shalom and Teri Lishma, is really taking all of aspects into account. I go back to the Navi. The job of the Navi, says the Rambam and Mar Nevuchim, is not only to say the Dvar Hashem, like to be a repeater. The job of the Navi was to look at all of the, as the Rambam says, Kol Ma'oreis Hazman. You look at everything that's going on, everything that's going on in history. And we all wonder, the suffix of sveikus is not whether we should take a vaccine or not, or whether we should go to shul. The suffix of sveikus is, like, what is Hashem doing? And where are we in history? Like, what is the point? Like, so you can, if you look at it from the inside, meaning like, tachas hamazolos, so you're getting, okay, this is what you're supposed to do right now. But if you're like from a scientific point of view, from a health point of view, and that's all emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that marechet, that's the marechet's for. But the Navi, the purpose of the Navi, and hear me well, because this is extremely important. The purpose of the Navi is to piece together, al yidei dvar Hashem, to piece together all the different components of what's going on and all the different ramifications. And to understand, the Nevi'im would put together all these pieces and say, this is where we are right now. We're at the time of Chorban Beis HaMikdash. We're at the time of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We're at the time of Mashiach. We're at the time of war. They would consult the Navi before they went to war. What is the nature of this war? We know we need to protect ourselves. That's not the question. What is the nature of this war? And by the way, that's the definition, says the Rambam, of Mechemes Mitzvah. It's the part of the halachic definition of Mechemes Mitzvah is that we consult with the Navi. And or a Sanhedrin, Talmud Chacham, Talmidei Chacham, Shalom Dim Tari Lishma, and the Navi puts it all into a perspective for us. We don't have that clarity. Hashiva Shreifteinu Kver Shenavi Yatzeinu Kvat Chila Vahasir Menu Yoga In Van Nocha. What we're missing is the that which is taking away from us the suffix, the Yoga In the Anocha, Umloi Chaleinu. And that's what we're missing. That's what it's called in a word is we're missing the Shechina. The Shechina is that clarity. So what am I saying that I've been saying 100 times? That, and I give it only as a mushal because I'm not a politician. But let's say, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, okay, like agreed upon tzaddik, right? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the doctors say, close the schools. And he says, open the schools, which he didn't say now, by the way. Now he's saying close the schools. But when he said, 2 months ago, he said, open the schools. And everyone goes, who's Reb Chaim Kanievsky? What does he know about medicine? What does he understand about viruses? What does he understand about contagions? And schnooks that were 24 years old, were saying, mihu maza zakena chad, he's endangering people. But, and again, I'm not, like, the whole Taina is a little bit stupid because, somebody like Reb Chaim Kanievsky is surrounded for the last 60 years with the biggest professors in the world that he consults with. And he's constantly researching things and understanding, but that's not even my point. It's just like a stupid, patronizing thought. As a tzaddik in a loy meteri lishma, he's seeing a bigger picture, and the medical aspect of it is one piece of it, but there's a lot of pieces to it. A part of the pieces, the existence of Mesirah, the existence of the future of Klal Yisrael. I want to say something while I'm making a speech here, that intermarriage which probably nobody here on the screen or Ramat Beit Shemesh has, there's probably nobody that's somehow not affected by intermarriage. Directly, indirectly, you know, somebody's brother, somebody's cousin, somebody's nephew. Like there's, it's there. In Europe, let's say before the war, it wasn't such a thing. You know, we lived in ghettos. I mean, I'm sure there were cases of intermarriage, no question about it. I'm sure maybe hundreds, maybe thousands, but not like this, 30%, 40%. It was a whole different story. It's like a spiritual magefa. At the beginning, when we came to the United States, so people started to, I mean, you know, like this being accepted by the citizens of the world was beautiful. You know, being free in America was beautiful, but very expensive. Very expensive, because all of a sudden, if we're accepted, if Jews are accepted, let's marry them, you know, and you know, the Rabbanim didn't know what to do with this. Congregant's son marries a guy. He didn't know what to do with it. And there was all kinds of, if you trace this, and I have, from let's say 1920 until now, you'll find a lot of different shitas, which some held and some didn't hold. Like, for instance, oh, somebody married a guy, sit shiva. Today, people don't sit shiva or any guy. Gedolim said not to do it. There was not a way to put this, and I give it as an example, there wasn't a way to put it into a perspective. Because if you start asking the question, well, you know, where exactly in the Chumash does it say that you're not allowed to intermarry? Okay, it's a pasuk which you can be a medayik in the Rambam, and the Menchas Chinuch has two shitas. No, the Gedolim saw that this was an existential threat to the Jewish people that went beyond any halacha. So where many people were busy being mefalpil in the whole sugya of intermarriage and what was done in history and Shlomo HaMelech and blah blah blah, the Gedolim, and I mean the Gedolim in America, when people came and they saw this, that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Satmar Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, pick your gun, you know, when they saw an existential threat, they went into action. They saw something bigger than the Shulchan Aruch, and they said, we got to battle this, and they did, and they did. How did they battle it? Did they do it right? I mean, but it was battled, and it's still being battled because it's still the issue. It's a different type of it's a bigger type of a thing. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, a Gadol saying, keep schools open. It's a God's eye view, because you're looking at it from a different place completely. And you're seeing, like Rabbi Akiva, that you know, here there's an international or a national epidemic, same as now, and thousands and thousands of people are dying in Eretz Yisrael, 24,000 of his Talmidim, and you know, he didn't close the schools. And if you'd ask him, he'll say, well, if the water is polluted, do you take the fish out of the water? The fish is going to die. That's Rabbi Akiva's clear logic. What's the point here? So what I'm gleaning out of the Nefesh HaChaim, parak after parak, is that we're not just talking about somebody who knows a lot of Torah, knows halacha. We're not just talking about somebody who has down the history clear of this piyut or that piyut. We're talking about, like, are you really going to change the way Jews have been serving Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Are you sure you want to do that? We're talking about something bigger. We're not talking about this piyut was made by the Goyim, this by the Rishonim, this by... I'm not criticizing any, but I'm just saying that there's a bigger look at schools, at Talmud Torahs, at shuls, at a Hasidic Shetish. There's a bigger look of preserving the people. You know, the Hasidim that go to a tish, in many cases, that's their lifeline. That's their kesher to Yishkeit. Like, are we really going to stop that? It's not a shiloh for me. I'm not any kind of gadol. And I listen. I try to listen to the gadolim. I grew up that way. But it's a much bigger question than some professor has to address. That's one piece. Okay, but then there's other pieces. There's sociological pieces, there's psychological pieces, there's Jewish existence pieces. And sometimes Rabbi Akiva said it's even ad kedei being in a place of danger. It's even ad kedei being in a place of danger. That's what it means to be a Jew. And I believe that's the underlying practical piece of what our shita is that there's such a thing as das Torah. And if you find that person who's loymed Torah lishma, and he brings it ad kedei, the world of Asiya, and he has the leadership that the Rambam speaks about, Elov Tishmon, he's like a Navi. Let him put it in perspective for you. And let him make it, tell us as Haderech Asher Yasu. And this is a key. Everybody with me on this, or am I just...
So, Rabbi, are you defining a Talmud Chacham so that we can better understand what is the result, according to the Nefesh HaChaim, of that Chachma, of the Torah that he embodies?
So does everyone understand that question? Because it's a very important question. Are we talking about the Chachma Satara, or are we talking about some other thing? So what we're learning here in the Nefesh HaChaim is that Al Yidei Chachmas HaTorah, one reaches a possibly Me'al Shamayim Chastecha, where it's not just about like the Rashi and Tosfos or the Tur and the Beis Yosef, but it's which is, of course, you can't get anywhere without that. That's the world of Asiya. But it's going all the way up to the top where you're getting a much different picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed him as a shliach to give a much different picture. See, so there's a big issue, which I think we'll actually come to, about listening to a Talmud Chacham in areas which are not his areas, if there's such a thing or not such a thing. So that's a machlokes, the Tashbats and the Maritz Geus. They argue about this Nekuda, like what's called Sichas Chulin Shel Talmud Chacham, that you have to listen to. You know, is it, you know, a tzaddik, a gadol tells you, the rebbe tells you a certain hadracha. You're supposed to say to him, "Well, what's the makar for that? Like, where'd you get that halacha?" You know, there's a certain me'al shemayim chastecha, which is lamala dan from the chachmas haTorah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but so is that a discrete measure or is that a relative measure? So,
I don't know what those words mean. I'm sorry.
I'm giving you an example. So, like, the distance between, say, you and me is very great in terms of Torah and Chochmah and that awareness that you're describing, that is a result of your, you know, many, many, many decades of Amkus B'Torah. So that's a relative measure. Because I can, you know, I wouldn't be able to measure that distance. But let's take Reb Chaim Kanievsky, multiply infinity by infinity, and that's the distance between me and him. So is it relative? So am I supposed to get a checklist from Reb Chaim and live my life that way? No, not really. I'm supposed to have a relationship with you because you're my Rebbe. Then what about my Torah? So
first of all, everybody's a link in the chain. That's the first of all. And you know, everybody has different pieces coming out of them and different responsibilities that Hashem has put in front of them for reason benounced only to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people that have been oila l'gedula, it's mysterious even how they, you gave the example, Dan, yesterday of Rav Scheinberg, you know. Rav Scheinberg, who I'm, and it's a good example for me because I knew him well. So he didn't have the typical, if I may say, the typical leadership skills. I mean, he spoke okay. He was a good speaker. Many people speak better than him, but he hardly spoke above a whisper. He hardly went out of his Dalet Amos he loathed going to good conventions or something like that. You have to actually force him to go to these things. But nevertheless, he became one of the, not the, but one of the chains of the Messiah, and hence gave us a Derech Asher Yelchumba. Why a Kodesh, to me, is an example of somebody who was Lai Material Lashma. You know, I always say over the Roshiva, that's also, he asked me once, like, how's it going? I was living in America. How's it going building Moistus? What are you doing? Like, you know, so I said, it's going well, but you know, the fundraising is a difficult part for me, asking people for money. So he said to me, That's only because your Avas Atzma is bigger than your Avas Hashem. Kalachriyad, you know, that was like he was completely, you know, ad kedei that he didn't care. He didn't care that he's going to be embarrassed or you know, like we had a mission to do. So my point is that we don't know why people are zochet to the amount of responsibility and the amount of hashpa that they have. But what we do know is that to whatever extent you're zochet to learn Torah lishma and to learn from a rebbe. So you have a Masaira, you become somebody who's representing, am I saying this clearly? You become somebody who's me'al shamayim chastecha in that relative sense. That there's a bigger look and people should listen to that.
Okay, so you answered the question.
I'm obviously uncomfortable with your example of me because I'm not a good example, but I'm just saying in general, I'm talking conceptually. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to be attached to a God's eye view.
But let me just, you answered the question that I hadn't yet asked, but I, at the risk of, you know, like Birshus Harav, for me, you are the example simply because I have an Aseh Lecha Rav obligation. And I can't go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and make him my Rav because there's no access. But, you know, so there's an achrayut for me to choose. So you answered the question that I was going to ask, which is when I learn Shar Dalet, am I learning about me or am I learning about someone else? And from what the Rav just said, I'm learning about me, that there is, that I can learn Torah in such a way if it's attached to a Mesorah through a Rav, a Seil HaRav. I can learn Torah in such a way that has that impact on my level. Is that correct?
That's 100% correct. We're not learning this to learn about the koach of gedolim. We're learning this about the koach to be a loymei Torah lishma, and then to understand what that means. And I think that's the answer. Okay, so let's.
I'm sorry, if I can just ask Rav on that as well, because one of the things, like when we were growing up, our Rav at the time said that he's giving us like the tools. For example, like he said, people used to come to him for all kinds of shilas. And he said, you can look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You don't even have to come to me for that. So again, like kind of what Dan is saying as well, like how far does it go? You know, how far, like it's something that's kind of always been a question in my mind.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
You know, it's like, is it like everything we have to go to that godel for that has to define everything in our lives, or you know, we're learning our own Torah that we you know to learn how
you're,
to live
you're
our
really
lives
just through, saying you know, different words, echoing what Dan is saying.
So meaning, I could be
yes, yeah. And I, if that's out there, let's clarify it. Yeah. Everybody is a rebbe. Everybody's a godel. But and everybody has to have three relationships, Talmidim, Chaverim, and Rabbeim. Everybody. You can't go everybody has, whether the Talmidim are your children or whether you're an author or whether you're teaching Torah or whatever you're doing, you have to be able to give over to Masaira. And everybody has to have someone where they're makabel to Masaira, and everybody has to have people to talk it over with and learn with. And so Aseh Lecha Rav, Knei Lecha Chaver, you know, Umi Talmidei Yoser Mikulam. So everyone has to have, so to some extent, you know, without the tools you're talking about, Yoni, like knowing how to learn, knowing how to think, knowing how to look at the world, Zlo Matchil. You know, if somebody's saying shitas which have no Masaira to them, and they have no learning to them, and they're not something that then don't have any talmidim, don't give it over. But what we're talking about is to the extent that we learn Torah Lishma, which by the way, I think is a lot greater than anybody considers it themselves. So stop thinking about the guy with the long white beard and like to the extent, to the minute that you learn Torah Lishma, meaning you pick up a sefer and you learn, or you're mishtasheh b'divrei chachma. I can't imagine anybody here, for instance, is coming to the shir and learning Shalai Lishma right now. as I often say, except for me. But what's the loy lishma? Nobody's paying you, and you're not getting any covered for it. You're not getting it. But, you know, enhancing what our tachlis is in the world. That's all we're trying to do with the Nefesh HaChaim over here, learning this together. Chaver, learning it together. It's lishma. So to the extent that we're learning lishma and we're understanding these things, we become a Rebbe. And the more you learn, the more you become a Rebbe.
Rabbi Haber, I'd like to ask a question, and I want to preface it by saying that it's touchy ground, sensitive, and I'm going to try to phrase my question in a way which is as mechubedik as possible. I need to tell you a quick episode. My brother, who you knew well, was here in Eretz Yisrael a number of years ago, and he was asked a question by some talmidim in a certain yeshiva when he was giving a lecture about, and they wanted to know about Rav Moshe's attitude about the possibility of giving up land in Eretz Yisrael if a peace treaty is reached with an Arab entity. The question was taken by my brother, and he answered in the following way, that he was present in the room when Rav Ovadia Yosef came to Rav Moshe. By the way, he came to Rav Moshe on two separate occasions, and Rav Ovadia asked Rav Moshe that question. Rav Moshe's answer was, ask the generals. Now, based on what you said a little bit earlier about Rabbanim who need to sometimes hesitate to go outside their area of expertise, from what Rav Moshe said, his answer was not necessarily his areas to come out of his area of expertise. He deferred or deflected to professionals who know more than he does about that specific area. In a similar vein, we consult with physicians. We don't necessarily go to the Rav to ask what kind of operation we should take or if we should take the operation. Now I'm going to complicate my question. There are a lot of charlatans out there, and they often mislead their flock. I'm not referring to Rav Kanievsky or Rav Moshe. I'm certainly not referring to the Gedolim. We don't always have access to Gedolim, and many people are part of a particular congregation, or they go to their own Rav, and they often ask the Rav, if they're a Hasidic sect, they ask the Rebbe to help them make decisions that are sometimes life-saving or life-risking decisions. And this creates an issue, because the Rav is asked then to give advice outside of his area of expertise. And many of them do. I'm not in any way suggesting that their answers are necessarily wrong. Very often they're right. But I'm talking about the principle involved here of bringing the Rav to a position where he's forced to weigh considerations which may be out of his area of expertise.
Can I
throwing this out, and again, without Khalida.
I want to tell you what I think. I'm probably not as capable as being mechabed and mechubad as you are. I think you have the wrong shot in Rav Moshe Feinstein. And this is a story that I know. Not as well as your brother, but this is Olav Shalom. But this is, look, if somebody would ask me, Nia Cotton, I have an inflamed kidney. What do you think I should do? And obviously, unless I'm an idiot, the answer is go ask a doctor. ask a doctor. However, And Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm telling you, Ephraim would agree with this 100%. However, if the generals are saying something, which, in Rav Moshe's opinion, is threatening the continuity of the Jewish people, threatening Torah, threatening Yiddishkeit, threatening Jews, he would say, okay, I defer to your expertise, of course. I don't know what's going on the ground. But there's a bigger picture here, and we need to look at this picture. Now, in the story of Rav Moshe, which actually written in his biography, I think, in the story of Ramosha, there was a number of premises there. And that was that he held of the state of Israel, if you will. He held that Jews have to be protected by the Tzahal. He held to that. He held that the Israeli government or army did a wonderful job at securing the people of Israel with Siyata Dishmaya. And he said, they're good doctors. Like, get the medical advice. But the moment that he would feel that there was a threat, an existential threat to Yiddishkeit, he would certainly speak even against the generals if that would ever happen. So, you know, and this is very dangerous because you get political, and I wouldn't say, but what he was saying was that this is a case where you should ask the generals. And this is a case where ask the doctors. Now you have a question, a medical question. What's going to happen if you do this medical procedure? Your life will be saved, but you're going to hurt somebody else. Or you're going to become, you're going to create an infertility amongst yourself, but you're going to feel better. Or you're going to this, or you're going to that. All the thousands of tshuvas, the brilliant, brilliant tshuvas of Ramosha Feinstein and the other Gedolei Hador, of course, they're being done, you know, me'al shamayim chasdech. So I think Ephraim, and I, your point is well taken, but I just want to end it and go further, that I think that we shouldn't get confused. And by the way, somebody who's loy matir lishma knows where to draw this line. So, you know, where one is referred to for their expertise, and where one is referred to, the tzaddik, the gadol, the Rambam, whoever it might be, the Goyim, the Vilna Gaon, the Baal Shem Tov, whoever you want to pick your tzaddik, where one is referred to not for his expertise in that particular area, he'll do the research, but of something bigger. But is this the right thing? Is it the Ratzon Hashem? Is this what we should be doing right now? So, you know, back at the time of the establishment of the State of Israel, obviously, those that are establishing the state of Israel were the experts. The question was a yesodistic question: should we establish the state of Israel? So, okay, we could all weigh into that, and we all have our gedolim, and we all have our messiah of how we go. But that's something which is, we're not talking about how do you carry that the Uzi. We're talking about like is this whole thing the right step for Klal Yisrael? And by the way, the consensus of the Gedolim is that it is the right thing to do for Klal Yisrael. Consensus of almost all the Gedolim, except for maybe the Satmar Rebbe or something. But I mean, and those Satmar, you know, have their Messiah. So I'm saying that we're talking about two different things. We're talking about Shem Hashem Nikra, a love, and every Gadol that I've ever met, they don't say, what are you asking me for? It's a stupid question. A year or two, there was unfortunately a terrible case of abuse, child abuse in the community here in Ramat Beit Shemesh. It was like a real, I don't know if you remember, it was like a real thing. I mean, this always goes on, but it was like an epidemic of, and people would call me and say, look, I know this guy, should I turn him into the police? Is that Masira? Is it not Masira? Should I call him? So I used to say to them, like, let me ask you a question. If God forbid, in the middle of the night, somebody breaks into your house and they're carrying a weapon and you hear the Pirtas Adelot and they're coming in and you don't know whether Hababa Machteris, you don't know whether they're coming in to steal or to kill. I want to ask you something. Are you calling the rabbi or are you calling the police? who are you calling in such a case? Like, of course you're calling the police. That's what the police are. That's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, in this case, you know, like it's not a matter of expertise, but what the Rabbanim in this community should have, or maybe did do, is figure out why is this happening? Like, what's wrong with our chinuch system? What's going on that you have this, this abundance of people acting like animals? How is this happening? That's the Torah question. Not, All right. Now, the Masira, of course, there's an issue of Masira, but you know, like he's a Baba Machteris, you know, get him out of here. Of course, you should call the police for your personal safety. And of course, you should call a doctor if you're sick. And of course, you should ask a general if you want to know whether to do land for peace or not. But at the same time, Moshe Feinstein wrote chuvas upon chuvas and chuvas about land for peace. He didn't just say, this is not my area. Go ask the generals. Are you allowed to give Eretz Yisrael away? You're not allowed to give Eretz. Of course, it's a big halachic thing. Ramosha himself wrote so much about it. The whole volume of Tchumin, which is dedicated to the Chuvas of Ramosha, land for peace. So is that a stira to the story you're telling, Ephraim? Are you still there, Ephraim? Is it a stira? It's not a stira. It's two different things, gathering information and then seeing the bigger picture. Okay, I may be talking too much about the subject, which I didn't mean to do. I want to say one last thing, though, that Loi Mei Toru Lishma, you see, the problem is, you know, that gadol, as Dan pointed out, the one with the Masaira, the one with the learning, the one who's giving over the Masaira. So, you know, the problem is that, particularly here in Eretz Yisrael, but also in everywhere else, there becomes like political ramifications. And in my humble opinion, you can take it or leave it. I give you a shush to take it or leave it. But in my humble opinion, it's very important to understand that once politics and Torah get tied in with each other, it's a really dangerous place to be. Because that world has so much sheker and so much looking over your shoulder and looking at the ramifications and looking at whether, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu like stood at the sneh for 7 days, according to Chazal, 7 days and seven nights. Hashem told him, you're supposed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And he said, I'm not a person who could talk. I don't have any more connections in the palace of the pharaohs. I'm not any longer in the Egyptian government. I had a dream that was 60 years ago. What are you doing now? Every disqualification that Moshe Rabbeinu gave himself 7 days and seven nights, so he had a lot to say about himself of being underqualified. Every time he said something like that, I'm telling you straight out of Chazal on the Medrash, Hashem said, oh, noch besser. You don't have any political power, you're the man. You can't talk, adzerabba. You're worried about it, I'll give you a speaker. I'll give you a spokesman. Every single thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said that was under qualification, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered it as a uber qualification, because you're not here to be a political leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not asking you to be a great public speaker. I'm not asking you to rally the troops with your charisma. I'm asking you to be an Anav Mikol Adam and listen to me and hear the Torah from me and give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And the more you absent yourself from that, the better it is. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This is like so important that when the minute that this gadol becomes political, so you got to worry about this. Because becoming political means that I have to worry about image, acceptance in a certain group. And, you know, so the first qualification for this Gadol B'Yisrael, Dan, is that he's free to say what needs to be said. Because if you're not free, then you're not giving the Das Torah, you're not the Loi Mei Toru Lishma. Another thing about being a chashuv Talmud Chacham is you're supposed to tell the truth. So I said, we're going to go through the whole Perek Yotes, and we didn't even start it. But we did learn the first two paragraphs, and let's learn where we're at least a paragraph. If you skip a few paragraphs, and I don't know how your book is set up, the Nefesh HaChaim brings a series of Zohars. And I just want to talk about one if you give me the 5 minutes. Parshas Vayikra, Yud Gimel Beis. You see that? A couple paragraphs in. In fact, a little bit further. Vasham Daf Yud Tes Seif Amud Aleph. He's quoting the Zohar. And the Zohar says the following. Let's leave with the Zohar. Daha Iraisa, David, you have the place? Everybody has the place there?
For those who have, it's on Ration and Bet for those who have this version.
And it's in the middle of that that first paragraph.
Misham Daf Yud Tes Seif Amud Aleph, says the Zohar. Daha Iraisa, the Torah. Mandi Yishtadol Ba, anybody that works in Torah, toils in Torah, Oisag in Torah, Misater Beitroi Dishma Kadisha. And I want you to think about this over Shabbos. Misater, he becomes crowned, you know, like a king has a crown. Beitroi Dishma Kadisha, with the crown of the name of Hashem. Why? D'ha'araisa Shma Kadishahu, because the Torah is a Shem Hashem, which is holy, like Yudke Vavke, like Elohim. Oman the Ishtadel Ba, and one who toils in Torah, Isaac in Torah, Israshim V'Isater B'Shma Kadisha. He gets this crown. Ukedein Yoda Orchin Sedimen. And then what happens when you get this crown? What are the ramifications of getting a crown? You remember at Har Sinai, we said Nasa Menishma, and we got two crowns. Echad Keneged Nasa, Echad Keneged Nishma. That means we were completely Lishma. Then we weighed the Egel, and Nafal Edyam Meirosham, we lost our crowns. So what happens, says the Zohar, when you get the crown? Ukedain, that through this, Yada Orchin Satimin Virazin Amikin. You are privy to the classified information of the Bria, and you have the secrets. You have the secrets to Orchin Satimin Virazin Amikin, to the hidden ways and the deep secrets. It means, you see, there's, you know, what did Hillel say twice in Pirkei Avos? Perek Aleph and Perek Dalet. Kach haya Hillel Oimer, diyishtamesh b'toga cholof, a little Aramaic in the Mishnah. Hillel had an expression, diyishtamesh b'toga cholof. Toga is a taga, it's a crown. That's what a toga is. You get this crown, this is my interpretation of Hillel, you get this crown, Hillel said, the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, when you learn Torah Lishma. The crown makes you privy to, like the Zohar says here, Soidai Stumin V'Razin Amikim. But the Yishtamesh B'Toga, but once you use the crown for your own personal gain, for kavod, for entrance into places out of kavod for the crown, Chalaf, the crown is immediately taken away from you. Three words, Hillel said. V'kach omar Hillel, the ishtamesh b'toga chalaf. That once you use the crown, you lose the crown. So the moment, and this is such a, we have to think deeply this week about why do kings wear crowns? What is the crown? Why a crown? Why not a necklace? You know, what's the meaning of a crown?
It's 10 o'clock.
But to the extent we understand what a keser is, and shleishik sarimhem, keser Torah, keser kahuna, keser malchus, v'shem, keser shem toivoy la'al kulana. Once you understand what a crown is, we understand that these crowns, so to speak, only come upon a person that's learning Torah Lishma. Keser Torah, if you're learning Torah Lishma. Udishtamesh b'toga chalav, it has to be pure MS, has to be free. It has to be without any political gain or consideration. That's the way it has to be. And if a person does have political gain for it, good for you. Go become the prime minister. Nobody's stopping you. But you're not any longer Hillel HaNasi. And this is what he said, and it was so interesting that he said it himself in Perek Aleph of Pirkei Avos, and then it's repeated in his name, Rabbi Elazar HaKapor, I believe Perek Dalet Mishnah Yotes said over from Hillel again, Dishtamish Betoga Chola Vakacha Yehillel Eimer, Kacha Yehillel Eimer. This went through the Doros, all the Doros, from Ezra, who gave it to Hillel, 10 Doros, all the way from Hillel gave it to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who put the Mishnah. Remember, there's one thing. The Shtamish B'togah Cholof, it has to be that Kesser that the Zayar is talking about over here is only there as long as it's Lishma. And that Lishma is, when you're looking for this Aseh L'chara, like, look for the Lishma. And I want to say one last thing. I don't know if it's black and white. It's not like a person's either Lishma or not Lishma. But if a person's Lishma on a certain thing, then he has a Toga. If he's Shaloi Lishma in the same sentence, then that piece of the sentence doesn't apply. And it's a very hard thing for us to be mafkin, but it's the Amish Ba'amitoy of how Yiddishkeit works. This is how Yiddishkeit works. This is how Torah works. We're not making up our own religion. This is how the whole thing works.
If a person has a negia, does that preclude him being lishma?
It's a very interesting question, Yitzhak, because there's a holy Negiah, Reb Nachman says, and an unholy Negiah. But, you know, when I'm speaking to Rav, I want him to have a Negiah towards my welfare and what's good. But look, let me rephrase your question. Does a Negiah equal Shaloi Lishma? Is that the same thing? So what's the answer, Yitzhak?
It's interesting. in Congress, during the debate, they try to remove Trump. So Alan Dershowitz made the case that it's normal to have a negiah. It doesn't passel the lishma of doing something to shame your job.
Here you go. Here we have it. Das Torah.
Zehaloshon, he said it.
Look, there's something to be said for this, because loy lishma means I'm doing things for, not for the sake of why they were given, leman po'alon. Now, if a negia is my thing, I think it's nothing's black and white in this world. If a negia makes me shaloy lishma, then I'm not doing it for the right reasons. So then I'm not lishma. And now that which has huge ramifications. Don't ask that person. Don't ask that person. If a negia doesn't mean that I'm doing it for the wrong, I do things for many reasons. We all do things. Why am I drinking coffee right now? I have like four reasons off the top of my head. It doesn't passel you, but to whatever extent there's an, it doesn't mean it's shaloi lishma, in my opinion. It just means to whatever extent the negiah is causing a shaloi lishma, then you're no longer qualified to paskin on the shaila. This is a tall order, but you know what? I think if we're, and as Dan said, this is nagei all of us, if we're mispalo in avarabah, as the tzaddikim say, to be mispalo in avarabah, that lumay teresecha lishma, we can be zelcha to that. Same libeno bina lahavin lahaski lishma alumai lashin lishma velasik. Kol divs halma teresecha lishma. We could be zelcha to lishma. It's a schus to be lishma. And somehow or another, you get the clarity. Usually, like in Yiddishkeit, it's become clear that zakenim, like the older you get, the less negias you have. Because, you know, money's not such a big deal any longer. Covet is, there's a lot of things, but to try to be without negias, but lishma, the key thing is lishma. Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you for listening to me and indulging me in this yisardistic diburim here.
Rabbi, is there any reason why the Zohar doesn't write the word here, lishma, in the mind of Mishtadil? Is there a klal in learning it that it's understood?
Well, thank you for asking.
Writing it, lishma.
Look, I started in the middle. If you go up to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and you open the Zohar, go through it, which I did.
Okay.
It's very, very clear that he's talking about Torah lishma. The whole sugya there is the sugya of Torah lishma.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos. A good Seger. Happy Seger. Okay. I have to make announcements for what we're going to do in Shul.